Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are traveling to Australia today. We're going to be talking with Lady Madison Harper. Her book, not a big one, but it has a powerful message. It's titled The Common Touch, which is a true story that was related to her one-on-one. Madison, welcome to the show. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hi, Madison. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. It's great to be with you today. Thank you for thinking of us.
Well, it's wonderful to have you as a guest, and I am so delighted to be able to share this with my audience because this is a true story.
It is.
You are a woman that has been very much involved in some interesting aspects of life. You are currently going for your PhD in clinical hypnotherapy. You are and have been studying in the area of psychology. You've also gotten a master's degree in commerce, and you also got a degree in freelance journalism. So you're a woman that decided you wanted to be a potpourri of many different areas of education.
I did. It was all my desires rolled into one. I've always enjoyed writing and always enjoyed kind of the human experience and their journey. So, and as you would know, Donna, any good business, you need to know how to market. So it's probably one of my best skills. I'm really glad I've got it. So, yes.
Well, I think that's marvelous. It's an inspiration to anyone. You don't have to go in and get a degree with just one label on it. Try mixing and matching. I mean, why not have a potpourri or a bouillabaisse, whatever you want. It's all of those different components that empower someone, because when we learn about various components of life, this is very, very good. Now, this is about a man named Alan.
Yes.
And Alan is someone that in a million years never ever thought that he would be walking a different path. First, tell us how you met Alan. How did your paths cross?
And it is absolutely that our paths did cross, and I could say by chance, but as we know, there's no chance. My husband was actually working with Alan on a charity in Australia, and they got to know each other quite well, and I'd only ever met Alan once. And in January last year, Robert and I, my husband, we went on a cruise to New Zealand, and by chance, Alan and his wife were also on that cruise. And I'm not really an early morning riser, and neither is Alan's wife. So every morning, the guys would get together and have breakfast. And over each breakfast, Robert heard the story of how Alan had these amazing experiences, and he was guided to write a book. Now, asking Alan to write a book is like asking me to run from L.A. to New York. I have no interest and no skill or desire. So It was something that kind of he felt he had the need to get this message out there, but he didn't know how to actually go about it. And he had tried with a few other people, and it hadn't worked. So my husband suggested, talk to my wife. She is a writer, and perhaps something can happen from that. And it was just by that one, I guess, opportune moment of us both being on the same cruise and getting to know each other that the story evolved, and I decided to write it with him and seek out other people who had other amazing stories too.
His specific journey, as you describe it in the book, starts in 2003. Now, Alan Bond is his name. He didn't have a bad life. He had a very, very good life.
He did
have a tendency to be a workaholic.
Yeah.
And he just, he was in the construction business, if I remember correctly.
That's correct. So he was one of those gung-ho guys. He's actually English, where he was born, and he lived in Australia for a good part of his life. So the Australian culture is very much known about being very manly and drinking and being very focused on having a lot of fun. So that was very much his environment, a lot of going out, partying, and drinking. So it's very much that construction environment. And you're right, he did have a nice life. But up until that time, as with many business owners, he was struggling, and he and his wife often were paying people's wages on credit cards. But the beauty of that is, you know, it's not the best business advice to do that, but I think anybody who really has a passion, and he did in that industry, he persisted, which I think is a wonderful lesson for anybody with a passion. But you're right. At that stage in his life, in 2003, life was good.
Mm-hmm. It was very good. Yet he did not have a sense of happiness. He eventually found himself picking up books, like a book by the Dalai Lama, and he picked up some other material, the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra. Here are items that he's reading, and he really doesn't understand why he's even reading them, which I find absolutely wonderful, because he's compelled. It's as if a part of him is saying, you get it. Almost like someone's tapping him on the shoulder and saying, this is what you need to look at. And that kind of an experience in my conversations with people that have gone through that kind of a happening, they're totally perplexed. It does not fit within any spectrum of logic. It is unsettling because it creates a whole different thinking and sense of time frame regarding their lives and what's going on in their lives. And that's exactly what was happening with Alan.
That's exactly right. And I think the word that you really honed in on there was unsettling, because when something you're used to living in a world for many decades as being that entity, and he was the construction guy, the business owner, the father, the husband, and he still is all those things, but all of a sudden, and it was something that you just mentioned, it's like those books actually called out to him, and they were very much against the stream of how he had been up until that time. He was never really interested in spirituality. And I think a lot of people, because I've interviewed a lot of people with these amazing experiences, there's always been something that has drawn them. And books, messages, also people just saying, have you seen such and such movie? You'll find that there's usually a repetition or something will draw you. And in the case with the Deepak Chopra book, he was in a market in one of our towns here, and it literally called to him. And he didn't even know anything about the author or the content, and he bought it. And the shop owner, as he handed it over to Alan, said, "It's going to change your life." And little did he know it would.
Absolutely true. Now, in your book, and by the way, the book The Common Touch is something that I would say could be passed along. It's a nice-sized book. It's not too big. It could go into a briefcase. It's just really a nice size. He became aware of a number of different things. And in your book, you have a statement, "Awareness is the key to change. By becoming conscious of what you want to improve, you become conscious." I call it waking up.
Absolutely.
It's like you come out of a sleep.
And coming out of sleep.
Yes. And then there is the law of detachment. Now, we all hear about the law of attraction and all this kind of stuff. It's been said over and over and over again, almost to a point where people go, oh, yeah, sure. But the law of detachment, which in my experience is exceptionally important because it's a discipline, that is an amazing thing, letting go of judgment. And that was a big step for him.
And I think that judgment aspect, if I talk to most people, and I know with myself included, it was probably one of the last things that was really an issue to overcome to create that full awareness, that full loving of the oneness of the universe that we live in. And detachment is just letting people be on their own journey and let and observing instances and incidents happen and knowing that that's the way it's supposed to be, because we're often very much attached to the outcome. And as we know, when we're attached to the outcome, if things don't go our way, we're not always thrilled with that, and we have disappointment. And I think probably one of the best things I've ever learned was that this or something better. Because when I live with that this or something better attitude, it absolutely takes a load off life. Because I know that the universe knows far better than I do. So, and I know that something around the corner is coming that is far more aligned with my journey, which is always such a joyful space to be in.
I really like that. Now, that bears repeating. When you are looking at wanting to accomplish something, when you have an intention, you say this or something better. Because,
yes,
as you say, and this has been my personal experience as well, and I know for many of my listeners it's been this, how in the world are we going to know? We often don't. We are going by someone else's picture or example, and that may not be appropriate for us. Very, very important. Very important awareness.
That's a good point, because when we go by other people's examples, and people often say to me, you don't seem like a competitive person. And I said, I'm not really competitive with other people, because I might be setting my benchmark too low or too high. I need to look at my life and my desires. And I find that people who are often on this spiritual journey, they work off a principle of what makes them happy. So they use, I call them, we've heard of our inner guidance system. Well, their inner guidance system is usually based on, does this make me happy? I'll do more of it. If this makes me unhappy, they ask themselves, is it making me unhappy because I'm scared or worried or fearful, or is it just not for me? And then they make their decisions based on that. So I think that very much that looking for other people to guide along the way, we all have it within us. So we can leave it up to us. We don't need to compare ourselves to others.
Now, Alan was going to find himself in some interesting situations. One, he was very dissatisfied with his business, but he had been encouraged by his wife to find someone that would teach him meditation. And he and his wife, Margaret, really had a very, very good rapport. And she noticed, being his wife, she noticed his dissatisfaction. She just didn't really know what to do. And he had gone to a Deepak Chopra program. And I just absolutely loved the fact that I think it was that program that there was this lady that was waiting, wearing Tweety Pie pajamas and matching slippers. That just grabbed me. I thought right there I would be in the right place. This is just really my kind of stuff. And it was so out of context of what he's accustomed to. But
yes,
this man was going to enter into what I call his personal experience of a dimensional reality, that trying to explain it in words is almost next to impossible. Because when you have those experiences, there are really no words to describe them. You've just lived them. And that's what happened with Alan. Tell us about that.
Yes, he was having just that need, and I found with many people who are on a personal development journey, they tend to go through paths. They tend to want to know there's more in life, and they start exploring, and that's what Alan was up to at that stage. And you're right, his wife and he did have a very loving relationship and very supportive, but as with any relationship, when somebody tends to go on a spiritual journey on their own, there's always a little bit of something's changing, and thankfully his wife really supported that. Now, after the Deepak event, he was beginning to, as you said, have experiences, and as you described, it's very hard to describe because they're literally out of the world. And one day he was walking through a beautiful park here in Sydney, and all of a sudden he felt this light come through him. And the light probably lasted only minutes. And he heard a voice talk to him as well, and he knew it was Source. And the interesting thing is most people would be going, gosh, what happened there? But Alan being Alan, he just went, fascinating, and walked along. And it was a point in his life that changed his life. And it sounds very remarkable walking along and feeling this light go through you and hearing a voice. But it was something that made him feel more connected than he ever felt. And it gave him the message that there is more to life than this human dimension. And there's a lot of beauty and wonder that he was even more excited to explore from then on.
Now, his wife, Margaret, because of the shift and changes that were going on within him, was starting to run the company, was starting to take it over. He was pulling away. And here is this macho guy that had always been the leading commander, had always been out there and just doing a 180-degree shift. And for her, she loved him dearly. She was perfectly capable of handling the responsibilities, but what she was finding is that everybody was saying, do it the way he did it. And, of course, that's not going to be the case. She's a different person. She has a different way of looking at things. But he had full trust in her and the other people that had been a part of his company. He really didn't want to be bothered with it anymore because this transformation was going on inside of him, and he knew that there were things that were going to be coming up into his own understanding, and part of that was a real honest, I'll call it a confrontation with his past, so that he could finally make peace with it. Because he had had a rough childhood, maybe not as rough as some and less than others, but for him it was quite significant because he had felt abandoned. And there were other things, and of course all of the details are in the book, The Common Touch. But for him, it was a wake-up. It really was a wake-up for him. And these experiences just kept coming on. In fact, he was told to even consider making a movie called The Common Touch. Is that not correct?
Yes, he was. He was given a whole bunch of messages to get the message out there, and he's, as I think I mentioned before, the most unlikely person to do that because it's never been part of his interest. And he was actually quite scared because he didn't know how to make those things happen. I mean, going from construction worker to writer to perhaps movie producer, and it's something that you said earlier I wanted to pick up on, is trust. Mm-hmm. He has the most amazing trust and knowing in the process of life. And it's probably one of the biggest lessons I learned while I was working with him. This man had all these amazing experiences. Some people would say, you know, I think something strange has happened to Alan. But when you meet him, you've never met a more genuine, loving, wonderful person. But the fact that he just took the information that he received from Soros and the other realms, and he actively just went forth with it, even though it was uncomfortable at times, I have to say it's really commendable, because that unwavering trust, I think, is a gift for any of us to have.
I'll have to tell you, one of the stories that I just loved in this book about Alan is that he was going through this transformation, going between the old self and the new self, discovering parts of things. He did volunteer work. He was really trying to figure things out. He found a wonderful mentor by the name of Joanne. And then he decided to give, he's going through all of these adjustments and went through a bout with illness as well, but he decides he's going to give his wife a puppy for Christmas. And I love this story because it's this little doll baby of a dog, a little tiny white ball of fluff, and he chose the name for the dog, and it was Osho. And his wife said, "You have got to be kidding." "Oh, well, okay, I guess we're going to take the dog and keep that name." But she said, "That is weird." However, they had an experience with a stranger when they were out walking, this little tiny ball of white fluff, and someone stopped and asked them what the puppy's name was. And it's Osho. And the woman said, "Oh, he's named after an Indian spiritual guru." And that was mind-blowing to them. And that was by the year 2006.
Yeah.
The next thing...
And Alan had come a long way since then, I think.
Yes, he had. It just was absolutely amazing. However, something else started coming in that he had to deal with. That was fear. Tell us what he had to battle when it came to fear.
Well, I think it's something that you've mentioned earlier, and it's the old and the new. People who often go through this journey feel as though they have their old selves and then this new evolving self that feels like the blinkers have been taken off and they've realized there's more to life than what they imagined. And Alan was very much feeling as though he was having to hide a big part of himself to many of the people in his life, because at that stage in his life, he really didn't have many other spiritual friends. He maybe had one or two people that he could talk about what he was really, really passionate about, because although his wife was very supportive, she wasn't perhaps on the same page when it came to that, and there was actually parts of his journey where she was very uncomfortable with it. So he felt as though he couldn't even explore that side of his being with his significant other. And the fact that he felt like he had his leg literally in two camps, one foot in being the manly construction worker and business owner, and the other in having this wonderful spiritual experience with Source, and he just felt really uncomfortable. And we were actually talking one day and saying, it's almost like when people come out saying that they're gay because they're so fearful of how people are going to react. And what he realized is that sometimes, you know, we don't really have to tell everybody everything. And I was relaying to him a story about Doreen Virtue, one of Hay House's main authors, who is, most people know her as the Angel Lady. And she actually said recently that some people, when they come up to her and say, so Doreen, what do you do for a living? She sort of looks at the situation, and if she feels they're really not open to, I'm the Angel Lady, she will say, I'm an author. And a speaker, and they'll say, well, what about? She'll say, personal development. And then to the other people who are more open to it, she'll say, I speak with angels, and I have a really amazing business around it. So I think for people like Alan, he didn't have that clarity that Doreen has, or that comfort, knowing that, you know, it's different communication messages for different audiences, be it friends or family, or if you're talking to the wider community. So it was very uncomfortable for him. And I've got to say, even to this day, it's probably one of our main conversations, how to feel and live like a spiritual being in a world that might not be exactly in the same place you are.
I think that is a challenge for anyone that has an understanding and wisdom, until they come to the awareness that they don't really have to give a hoot about what anybody thinks. They just be who they are. And I think your words about Doreen Virtue are wise, because it's sort of like talking to some people that are, you know, you talk to a child in kindergarten, you don't use the same conversation as you and language that you would use with a PhD in physics. I mean, it's very different. And so you have to adapt.
Absolutely.
And I think that's part of the journey. And that is a tough one, unless you have a good mentor. Now, Alan had gone through being involved in Reiki. He had gone through so many things that made him aware that he really needed to pay attention, because the shift that was occurring, and this is very interesting that we're talking about this today, because I was just talking with a gentleman a few hours ago about this very thing. And that is, when you are developing the intuitive processes, when you are going through a transformation like Alan is going through, you must be aware of your physical body. This is the chassis you are occupying, and you must be able to take care of it. And if you're not mindful of that, you're going to have physical problems. And that's what happened with Alan.
He did have a few physical problems, and as we know, usually our physical issues are manifestations of underlying beliefs or concerns. And with Alan, he, even to this day, has a slightly sore back at times when he's not feeling fully authentic within himself. And with him, he had issues, and they couldn't even quite figure out what was wrong with him. It was to do with heat and digestion, and it was, kind of, as you said, a kind of a potpourri of issues. And with the physical body, when you realize that you really are, it's really just a meat suit that you're walking through this dimension in, and that the soul is what's being housed in it. I suppose you really do then look at the physical body as a shrine, and you want to take as best care of it as you can. But when you have physical ailments, and as we know, Carolyn Meese and the like, they all say that it's an indicator of something larger. It is almost like his source tapping you on the shoulder and saying, pay attention. Now, Alan knows to this day, if he has pain within his body, and it usually ends up in his back, it's because there is a part of him that is not feeling fully aligned and fully authentic with the person he has evolved into. And I think that in that way, the physical body is a gift because it reminds us of those, you know, things that we need to watch out for.
Mm-hmm. I agree. In his experiences, and we're moving from, well, from 2007 all the way through to 2009, and we're going into 2010. So he's going through all kinds of shifts, and he's beginning to feel experiences of past lives. Now, unless somebody has gone through this, it's very, very difficult to relate to it. I have experienced it. And once you've experienced it, you don't forget it readily. You just don't. And so here he is going through an experience, and he finds that he is reliving a time of the Druids.
Yeah.
And that is quite a powerful experience.
It is very powerful because, as you said, Donna, unless you've really experienced it, it almost, to most people, seems like an interesting story. But those who have had a past life regression or the like, it actually is like waking up from a really vivid dream and feeling like you've been there. You're so in the moment with it, you actually feel like you've been there, and because you have. So that's probably the best way of explaining the power of it. And I think for people who are even interested in that aspect, the past life situation, is that, as Brian Weiss says, that there it's all about looking for the lessons in the past lives and looking at the common string. So if you look at your past lives and see, it was with Alan did, that he noticed there was a lot of compassion and love and understanding. And he realized that that was the theme within the past lives he was seeing and was something that he was obviously supposed to develop further in this current life. And he's actually the embodiment of those qualities, which is beautiful.
I would like to ask you a question, as I know we're getting close to being finished with our time together here on the show. How has this affected your life? When you went through this and put this story together, what changed in your life?
Well, there was a few things that changed in my life, and I probably think one of the major ones was something I alluded to earlier, was just a being with somebody that has absolute trust and knowing. And Alan has no worry about things such as money or love or anything like that. He always believes that you're going to be taken care of and everything is perfect and as it should be. And although I knew that to an extent, it was something I knew in my head but not necessarily in my heart. And I think that's probably one of the greatest lessons I've had with being with him, is that I now have adopted that. Because in the past, even though I've always been in a very abundant person and people would say I live a wonderful life, there was a part of me that thought there was never enough, especially in terms of money. And now all of a sudden I've realized that I just have to trust, because quite honestly, Donna, Source has never let me be poor. So I was worrying about worrying, and it was needless worrying. So that was probably my biggest gift from him. And also the other thing I think I learned from him is that he is so compassionate and kind, and he treats everybody equally, as he said, from the person who was the person cleaning up in his construction company to the CEO of a client. He is one of those people that really looks at people to their soul and not to the box they've created for themselves in life. And I think that's what I've also learned as well. I've always been quite kind and loving, but he's taken it to another level for me. And also, I really wanted to run my business how he runs his business. He is very generous and kind. He takes care of every single person in his business, and he's very kind to the people he works with, even in charities. And that's how I've decided I really want to be too, because although I was always very fair in business, I was probably a bit more probably a little bit more sharp and tough than Alan was. And I think that I've now adopted that more, everything will work out, and let's just be kind to one another because we're all the same. It's all about the oneness.
Well, the book, The Common Touch, it's not a big book, but it is power-packed with a lot of information, and more than anything else, the personal experience of a man named Alan Bond, who walked a walk of transformation and is living it still. Madison Harper is the woman that listened to his story and put it in the book form, and I know you'd find it interesting. There are two websites you can check out. One is thecommontouch.net, thecommontouch.net, and also madisonharper.com. That's M-A-D-I-S-E-N, Harper, H-A-R-P-E-R.com. You've got both of those websites, thecommontouch.net or madisonharper.com, or you can get more information. Madison, thank you so very much for being with me today. It's been a delight. And I'm grateful for the technology that enables us to talk across the thousands of miles in such a way that it seems like you're right next door to me.
Thank you, John. It was absolutely wonderful spending the time with you, and I also appreciate that technology, too.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. TheCommonTouch.net, MadisonHarper.com. Check them out. You've got your computers there. Just go to it, and you'll find out some interesting information, a very good book to add to your library and to give as a gift to a friend. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. If you'd like to give me a call and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here is our toll-free worldwide telephone number of 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Okay, and I know we've got a caller on the line. Before I do that, let me just share with you quickly, tomorrow, because Mother's Day is coming up pretty soon, we're going to be talking with a mom and a book that she wrote, which I think when you hear the title, you're going to go, oh, gross. But she was writing about dealing with teenagers. So we're going to be talking with her tomorrow. Carolyn Wentz is going to be my guest. The title of the book is A Mother is a Mother Unless She's Earth Vomit. Let that one grab your brain. Well, could it come from anything but a teenager? Trust me, that's where the title came from. So anyway, we'll be talking with Carolyn tomorrow, and I hope that you can join us. We always have a good time here on the Donna Sebo Show. Let's go to our first caller of the day, show you how it's done. First name or initial, please, and where are you calling in from?
Michelle, I'm calling from Telluride, Colorado.
From where in Colorado?
Telluride.
Where's that?
It's a small mountain town.
Ah, well, welcome to the show. I love Colorado.
Thank you.
I think some of the most beautiful clouds, and this is really going to sound a little wacky, but some of the most gorgeous cloud formations I've ever seen have been in Colorado. I have a friend that lives outside of Denver, And I'm Monument Valley. Monument Valley.
Yeah.
And I can remember looking out the window, and it's as if some magnificent angelic artist put together these cloud formations and all of this broad blue sky, and I go, wow, what a palette. It just is awesome. Just incredible country. So I just think Colorado is absolutely gorgeous. I have some very fond memories about being there and hope to be back there sometime in the future. Let's get down to business with you, Michelle. The first thing I am looking at is disappointment. It's as if something has taken the heart out of you, and I'm feeling tears flowing out of my heart, and it's as if I don't have a place to put my emotions, so I'm internalizing them and I'm hiding them. And I'd love for you to do some kind of a ritual where maybe you write out every bit of feeling that you possibly can on a piece of paper and then maybe shred the papers, have a burning bowl ceremony and take the ashes and let them go to the wind or put them on a lake or someplace on a body of water where you see them floating away. You're going to need to take care of letting go of the past, dear. You've got too much. The wounds of the past keep getting opened up. And I just feel so much pain when I'm speaking with you. And this is impeding your progress in your life because it's affecting your self-esteem. It's affecting how you look at life overall and consequently the actions that you can take for yourself that are going to be productive and valuable, which are not. So as I'm watching you, I'd love for you to give yourself the gift of releasing the past, and then relieving yourself of a burden of guilt that you don't need to carry. Life, if you ever read biographies, which I think you need to start doing some more reading, you need to read about the lives of people, not unlike the common touch that we were talking about today. People that maybe have gone through very dark moments, maybe their lives have been in shambles, and they end up rising above it all. Life is experience, and you're going to get it one way or the other. You're going to either get it when you're younger, middle-aged, or older. Somewhere along the line, you're going to be going through experiences that are just extraordinarily unpleasant. So it's what you do with that, and that's what's important for you right now, because you're not going to have the breakthrough you want until you're able to release this grief. And you've got to stop beating yourself up. My goodness, you don't need to do this. It's not necessary. So it's time to awaken. It's time to say, this is what was. This is not me right now. I can take the best from the past, and I can apply it here, and I can learn from it. And if you have to, go to your local library, get books of inspiration that will allow you to realize that other people have walked a lot darker paths than you have ever walked in your life. And they have come out better people because of it, because they used it as leverage to move themselves forward. And that's where you are right now. So you're not really at an indecisive point. You are in a positioning where the momentum of release is necessary so that you can fly, so that you can be free. Am I making sense to you?
Well, I think so, but I'm not totally clear, but it might relate to my question.
All right. What's your question, dear?
Well, I'm having a lot of confused emotions right now related to my relationship, and I don't really know what to do with it. It kind of took me by surprise.
Well, that may well be what you're looking at, because you're comparing this with something in the past.
Yeah.
You're comparing it with experiences, and you need to see it as its own thing. And I think it's healthy. I don't think the relationship is going to go very far.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a wake-up call for you. It's time to wake up.
Yeah.
Does it now make sense what I've already said to you?
Well, I think I'm just...
I know.
You know,
it's
sort of tough to absorb it. Sorry, what?
No, I said it's tough to absorb something when your thinking pattern is occupied in another perspective. So I don't...
Yeah.
That's fine. just allow yourself to go through this. What is the biggest challenge that you're having relative to this that took you by surprise?
Well, I've been married for 7 or 8 years now, and for the first time in my life, I'm thinking that maybe that's not what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shocking to me to feel that way.
Why do you think it's shocking?
I just thought I would be in this forever.
You're growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You are waking up to who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean that the marriage has to go in the toilet necessarily. However,
right.
You are developing an integrity with yourself instead of buying into an image of what you have been indoctrinated to establish in your life. It's like the Cinderella
mm-hmm.
syndrome. We're mm-hmm. supposed to find our knight in shining armor, and he's supposed to be on a white horse, and he's supposed to be this, that, and the other, and then we go off in the pumpkin carriage that's all gilded, and we're supposed to live happily ever after. If you notice, nobody ever takes on what happens after.
Right.
Everything goes in. That's when you're dealing with the toilets that overflow, babies that get sick, the roof caves in on the house. It's what you call real life.
Right.
So you are waking up and out of an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Join millions of other people that have to go through the same process. So
right.
It's not a matter of your being the perfect this, the perfect that, or the perfect other. It doesn't make any difference. It's understanding
mm-hmm.
that you as an individual are your own person. And you're saying all of a sudden you're coming up out of a deep sleep and you're scrubbing
mm-hmm.
your eyes and going, gee whiz, this isn't what I expected. How come I'm not really happy? What's wrong
yeah.
with this picture? What channel have I turned to?
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, it has more to do with you on the inside and integrity with yourself than it has to do with anything else around you.
Okay.
So you're waking up there.
Okay.
And that's good. It's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's very uncomfortable.
It is. I'm used to feeling in control, and I really haven't felt in control for a while.
You've never been in control, and that's why you're uncomfortable. You bought into the illusion of being in control, and you're far from being in control.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have children?
I do.
How many?
I have one. He's 3 and a half.
No wonder you haven't felt like you're in control. You got a little powerhouse there.
Yeah.
He's not a weak lily. That's all you ever need to do is to give birth to a child, and you realize how little control you really have. You
that's
like to
exactly
think you've got
happened.
It. Yeah, but I'm telling you. It's something that you find out when you're pregnant, and especially after that baby's born, it's like, uh-oh, this isn't going according to what someone said. That's how come?
Yeah.
That's life. You've given birth to a very independent personality. And
yeah.
he likes to tell you what to do, and he's 3 and a half. You're laughing,
yeah,
but that's the truth. He's smart.
Oh, he's very smart.
He's very smart. So, this is where you wake up. And you
mm-hmm.
realize that as a parent, it's totally destroyed a lot of the fantasies that you had. Now, that's not
yeah.
bad, because you wake up to who you really are as a woman. I think that is empowering. You may
mm-hmm.
not feel that way at this moment, but it really is. You are beginning
yeah.
to learn what true freedom is.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I know we're just about out of time here. Hun, but thank yeah. you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Was this the first time you heard the show?
No, I've been aware of your show for about 25 years.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, my stepfather, for some reason, I think he saw you once or something. And I was in high school, and I'm 40 now, so.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
that
so
is
no,
amazing.
You're in my life here and there.
Amazing. Well, that
yeah.
is really quite a statement. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate your calling in, and be sure and tell your friends about the show.
Okay, thanks, Don.
You're welcome, Michelle. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break in just a moment. And let's see, what else did I want to show? Oh, telephone number, 888-815-9756. Also, for those of you listening in the far north, in the state of Alaska, I'm going to be coming up in the Fairbanks and Anchorage. You can check my website for my exact schedule, but I'll be there in Alaska all of next week, and our broadcast will be coming live from the far north. It's one of my favorite places on the planet, so I will be there. And if any of you listening would like to schedule some time with me, I am going to be doing private sessions with people. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I wanted to share a quote with you that I came across. I think it really fits well with what we have been discussing today. And it's by Norman Vincent Peale, who is a man that I have a great deal of respect for. He wrote a number of books while he was alive, and I had the good fortune to come across some of them in a secondhand library, and they're now in my library, and I really value them because he was very wise in many ways. And this is one of the things he said: the man who lives for himself is a failure. Even if he gains much wealth, position, or power, he still is a failure. The man who lives for others has achieved true success. A rich man who consecrates his wealth and his position to the good of humanity is a success. A poor man who gives out of his service and his sympathy to others has achieved true success, even though material prosperity or outward honors never come to him. It's not a matter of being a doormat for life. It is a matter of realizing that being of a mindset and an attitude where you're a contributor to this experience of life, no matter who you are significant. No matter what your station in life is, you are significant. I once had in one of my classes a young man who was a janitor, and he was so demeaning about his positioning, and he felt so ashamed of what he was doing. And I asked him why, and he said, well, I'm a janitor. I've been a janitor at a high school. I have not, you know, I'm after hours. Nobody really respects me. And I said, you are an invaluable part of creating an environment of safety for those students. And by the time I finished talking with him, I said, your positioning, even though there may not be a lot of people who recognize you, is significant. You're keeping the area clean. If there is any kind of drug use or inappropriate activity that's going on, you may find it in the trash. You can notify the proper authorities at the school. If there is something that is out of place, I mean, you might even encounter somebody that needs some help that hides in one of the bathrooms. while you're there, and you have a chance to talk to them. You might be able to give them some tips on what to do or who to go speak to regarding their challenges. And by the time we finished talking, this young man said, I never looked at my job as something that was significant. I always thought that being a janitor was the lowest thing you could do. I said, not really. When you can look at your job providing a service and look at it with a sense of pride and do the best you possibly can do, no job is insignificant. There was a man who became very, very famous who started off working as a bellhop. One of the things he did working as a bellhop is that he'd never take tips. He always gave more than enough service to people. He worked at a very nice hotel. And he said, no tips, thank you. I do this because I want to do it. He felt he was being paid a fair wage. But he wanted to do something that was more than what the average bellhop did. As it turned out, he ended up making friends with some people that were so appreciative of his good manners, his attitude, his proficiency and efficiency, that even though he was someone that wasn't on what you call the higher pay scale level, he got the support of others where they helped him pay for his education. When he became a very successful businessman, he was very sure to involve himself with the younger generations because he said they need to have a sense of pride about who they are and what they do and realize that providing excellent service is first and foremost above all things. When you are true and when you are honest, and when you have integrity, and when you strive for excellence, you will be recognized. So those are two different examples, but those are people that in their own way can be very, very successful, even though they may not ever be written up in the New York Times. Success is something that is defined by the individual. Success is what you feel really makes you a part of this experience called life, where you are a contributor to making this world a better place on one level or another. So, well, whether you're serving donuts to a vet at a hospital, or you're working with little kids, maybe you're a CEO of a corporation, it doesn't make any difference. It is the quality and standard of excellence that you stand for and that you represent that makes a difference. So whatever you do, make sure you have that sense of pride in yourself and what you do. I don't think I'm going to have time to share the story that I wanted to share about laughter really being the best medicine. There's a very powerful story that I came across about a young woman and her difficult circumstances. But I will share with you this. Here we are in the Pacific Northwest. We've been moaning and groaning here because it's all rain, gray skies. Well, a little bit of sun has been peeking out, and tomorrow I guess we're really going to get the sun blast. Yahoo! Well, the flowers are blooming regardless. They are very well trained here in the Pacific Northwest when it comes to spring. Rain or no rain, they're going to be strutting their stuff. And Tiffany Garrett wrote a lovely poem. She said, flowers in bloom, sparkling drops of dew, vast open skies, all sunny and blue. So many beautiful things from the earth to the sky, but none as treasured as my mother, Tiffany Garrett. It's a wonderful Mother's Day poem, and it's accompanied by an exquisite photograph of tulips and roses and just other spring flowers. It's just absolutely beautiful. Well, I know that your schedule is going to be a busy one, and I want to remind you, tomorrow we're going to be talking about moms. Yes, we are. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Ann Faison, Dancing with the Midwives. Anne is an incredibly fine artist, and we'll be talking about her delightful publication. She deals a lot with grief, and through her art, which is just awesome, she is able to touch the hearts and minds of people along with her poetry. And then Harper's Rules, Danny Cahill, is going to be my guest on Friday. We're going to be finding out what enables you to become successful, both with relationships as well as career. I've recommended this book to a few people that I know that are out there working with recruiters. Well, this is relating a story about a recruiter and how he turns around the life of an individual. I think you'll find it very interesting. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Your mind, your soul, your spirit, it is yours. But it's going to be up to you to refine your knowledge and to polish up your own special gleam that you have that can beam out to other people, touching their lives, inspiring them, and motivating them. Keep it polished, because you're needed. Thanks so much for sharing your time with me. I really appreciate you. We'll be back here same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.